Some days are warm with sunshine, some are cold with clouds and rain. Some nights are filled with singing, others crying out your name. No matter what the circumstance, your faithfulness remains. Even when it's dark and I can't see the purpose in the pain. Sometimes I'm walking on the water before I sink in underneath. Stop the morning on the mountain top, then I'm buried underneath. When I feel forsaken, wanna hang my head in shame. Sitting here alone, still trying to see the purpose in. Questions are still few and hard to find. Take my strength from knowing you will always be the same. Standing on your word, I finally see the purpose in the pain. Purpose in the pain.
Amen and amen, my friends. It's good to see y'all again. Give me an amen to make sure the mic check is working, because I just want to make sure I'm not talking to a dead microphone like I do sometimes, but sometimes I am dead too. But hey, I'm alive in Christ. Amen. So I'm glad that you are here, the faithful few, because that's what I call you. We had a couple people contacting me, say they couldn't be here. They wanted to try to come in and join the chat to listen to the sermons, and I said, that's fine. We're going to try to work on something in the future to give them direct access here, but, that's still in the road, because right now I'm just not focused on that. It is Friday night, and we know what Friday night means, that, again, we gather together for a message, but like I said, there's some things that's going on with our lives, and I think it's kind of tying into this message because, again, it's more close to home than anything. And I think some of you can relate to this because there were some other things that's going on. And that's why I felt led to write this. Y'all know, we've been dealing with other things. So this is why I focused on this. So with that, I want you to know when I was writing this message, and it was not too long ago, about almost a week and a half ago, I had a conversation with the lady who lives in this trailer park. See, I cut grass in this trailer park. It's a big old trailer park. But there's a lady that lives all the way down to the end, I cut grass for her, and I was cutting the yard for her because 2 weeks ago she came to me and asked me to cut her grass and how much would I charge her. And I told her that, and she kind of looked at me, what, just that much? I said, yeah, you know, it's not a lot. So I started cutting the grass, you know, and she couldn't do so because she fell. She had an accident, and she broke her hand. So she couldn't operate the lawnmower. And she asked me to keep taking care of the yard, you know, until she gets better. Well, last week she came to pay me, and I was out in the yard cutting grass. I was just about to wrap it up because the last part of this trailer park is a big yard in front of her trailer. And I could see her walking out to her, and she was, you know, I could see she was holding her hand like this, you know, walking. And I was kind of like, okay, you know. But so as I turned around and I went closer to her, and as I got closer to her, I could see in her face she was distraught. She was hurting, you know, and I can tell that she was crying. I'm like, uh-oh, okay, you know. But when I really got close to her, I saw she was handling a bunch of quarters in her hands. I mean, she had a pile of them in her hands, broken quarter wraps. I don't know how many you wrap money, but when you put quarter rolls together, you know, it's a normal roll, but some of them were broken. A lot of them were scattered. But, you know, she came to me and she said, you know, Jimmy, I hope you take quarters. And, you know, and I could see the expression on her face. Guys and gals, she was hurting. She was hurting. And I asked her, I said, dear, well, what's wrong? What's going on? And she broke down crying. I mean, she boo-hooed cried. And she started pouring out all her troubles to me. She was telling me everything that she was dealing with. She was telling me all that she was going through. She was asking why all this was happening to her. Because she's recently, many years ago, she lost her husband. She's a widow. She's living by herself. Her son just recently moved out, I think about 2 years ago. No one in her family wants to come visit her. And yet she was crying, and I mean, she broke down, you know, and I know when you get around people like that, I mean, they're just boo-hooing. And she was asking me, why? Why is all this happening to me? You know, she was telling me her roof is leaking. It's the rain's pouring in. She's got mildew building up in her room. She's got plumbing issues, pipes leaking. And sadly, she was telling me the roofer contracts came over there, they ripped off. Painters came over there, they ripped off. Plumbers came to her house to say they could fix this, they ripped off. And yet she was just coming apart. And I was looking at her. You know, honestly, you know, as a pastor, you know, when you listen to other people, when you counsel with them, you know, I do the same here on chat. You know, we may not see each other face to face. I do have a room set up to do this, but some prefer not to. But when I do talk to you and those who come in here, look, I hurt. I cry. I empathize with you. And I start thinking, you know, what do I tell you? What can I tell you? You know, the old generic answer, well, you know, just give yourself over to Jesus and, you know, and just trust in him and it'll be okay. And that can be a quick thing. That can be a quickie that I can throw out. But generally, most of the times, that's not what we should say. Sometimes we may just need to listen. Sometimes a person may need a shoulder to cry on, to talk to. But as I was thinking and I was looking at her and I'm trying to think, you know, okay, I'm a bit lost of what to tell this lady. I don't know what to tell her. You see, I'm dealing with a lot of things right now in my life. My wife is going through, and I'm going to say it just like this, hell. She's going through a rough patch. And we're both, at times, hurting. We're crying. Most times I want to rip her head off because I know, look, that's not her. She's dealing with massive pain. And I'm even, as a pastor, you know, I'm preaching and teaching you and doing Bible lessons and whatever, you know, some people out there think pastors must wear that big super P on their chest that we're Superman. Nothing can affect us, but it does. We hurt. And I was in pain, you know, and I'm thinking, like, I don't know what to tell her because I'm dealing with some problems right now. I don't know what to tell her. I was a bit lost of what to say. I was a bit lost of trying to help her understand why she was dealing with all the mess that she was dealing with. But I ended up telling her, I said, dear, you know what? Keep your money. Keep your money. If this matters, of all things, I want you to know Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And she started breaking down and crying even more. And she thanked me. And I listened to her more. I did my best to ease her fears. I did my best to comfort her. Did my best to say words that she needs to hear. And eventually in all this conversation, she got around to asking me, well, Jimmy, by the way, how's Sherry doing? And as I was listening to her, yes, I was thinking of my wife. I'm constantly thinking of my wife because, right now, the virus is gone. She's got all nerve damage, all in the side of the face, the nerve damage in the eye. And what's happening, they're not firing right. They're not communicating with one another, with the receptacles in the brain and everything else. So they're misfiring. And when they're released, they're causing massive pain, like what happened to her last Saturday. She fell down on her knees in such bad pains, I heard her even say, God, kill me. Kill me. And I'm standing there. I can't do nothing. I can't do nothing. And her eye is pulsating. It's gone wide open and closed, wide open and closed. So all that light is coming in, and it's causing massive brain pain, if you want to call that. Imagine a migraine headache 20 times. That's what she's dealing with. And the doctor tells us, Monday, I hate to say this to y'all, the virus looks like it's gone, all the stuff's off the eye, behind the eye, but you're going to deal with this probably for the next 2 months or a year or longer. Really? Really? And I started thinking to myself, what Sherry's dealing with is nothing compared to what this lady's dealing with. What Sherry's dealing with is nothing compared to what many people in the world is dealing with. Her pains is just a light affliction compared to many others. I can go in details about other things, people losing loved ones, people having people dying of cancer, debilitating diseases, you name it. And my thoughts kept thinking, what my wife is dealing with is nothing compared to what this lady is dealing with and what other people in this world is dealing with. Nothing. There are a lot more folks who are worse off than Sherry. So that's why when I finished cutting yards, I immediately came here because, a lot of times when these thoughts come to mind, I got to start pinning this down. A lot of times I start writing messages. It's not in order. It's scribbled. It's right here, there. Then I have to look at it. Then I meditate on it. And then the Holy Spirit takes over and it helps me start putting these messages together. So when I finished cutting the yard, like I said, this led me to this message. And I hope by this message, those of you who are here tonight, if you're suffering, if you're dealing with something, if you're having pains, past, present, or future, I hope this message helps you understand. Those online listeners who listen to these audio messages, I hope this message may help you understand. I hope that it helps someone who may be suffering something in their lives in what I am about to say. Including me and my wife. I hope it helps me. I can't stand here and say, okay, well, yeah, I'm suffering. No, I'm really not. But here I am. And it's difficult. It's hard. I caught myself even this morning. I wanted to rip my wife's head off, and I'm like, I wanted to get in my car. I just wanted to leave. Get away from everybody. I can't take this no more. See, my wife was sick way back in 2003, and all this flashback is coming back again. You know, see, that night when she was in the hospital bed, I got up because I said to myself, I can't take this no more. I'm out of here. And that woman was hooked up to tubes and machines and everything else. And I looked at her and said, heck on you, I'm gone. And I walked out the door. I was going to get in my truck and drive out west. That thing ran out of gas, and I was going to disappear into the world. Leave that woman in the hospital and let her deal with her problems, because I don't want it. And here she is battling this again, and all this is flooding back. Satan is using this. But God had plans that night when I was leaving her. He changed me. He turned me around. This is why, again, I'm led to this message. So if you got your Bibles, Lisa, she will post them for you. Our reading verse for tonight is going to be 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And look what Peter's telling us. He says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace. And I'm using a little different translation. Sorry, Lisa, but that's still a good translation. All translations are great, folks, but what I wrote here, because, you know, this is the New King James Version, I think. I'm not sure, but it says, after you suffered a little while, the God of all grace or glory, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Look at that, folks. You want to see where our hope lies at? You're dealing with problems. You're suffering. You're dealing with pain, sinful issues. It doesn't matter. Place your trust in Christ. Because look, we know that God cannot lie. He can't. We know his words to be true. And when he's saying right here in the scriptures that Christ, Jesus himself, will restore you, he will confirm you, he will strengthen you, and he will establish you. If that doesn't give you any glimmer of hope, then I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight and we submit ourselves to you and your authority. And God, as I keep repeating this over and over, and you know that I'm saying this, I'm not trying to question the whys. It's hard to understand. But when I see my wife and I see friends here in this chat and I see online friends on Facebook, and I see many neighbors here in this town and many other folks, and I see many suffering. They're suffering, they're hurting, they're having trial, they're having tribulations, they're having pains, they've been dealt with sin, they cave into sin, and ups and downs and all this. And I'm sitting here, God, you've got the power to change all these things. Why? You do not. And all I keep hearing, I have the plan. Trust me. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have some issues. But you're not exempt. When I sent my son to this planet, he suffered. And yet, because we are actually being adopted and we are actually conforming to his image, we're no different. It's hard to understand this, Lord. It really is. It's hard at times as mere humans to grasp this concept. It's difficult. But all I can do is trust. And hang on. And yet we keep getting hit and keep getting hit and keep getting hit. And I feel like I've got no more energy to go on no more. don't know what to tell you. So, Father, watch over these folks here tonight. They're here. They're listening to this message. They could have went, took care of their own love and whatever they wanted to do, but they showed up. And bless them and be with them, strengthen them and lift them up and let them know, hey, okay, I know what you're dealing with and I can take care of it. It may not be the way that we think it should be, but you're going to deal with it. As hard as it is for us, we're going to have to trust. Trust. So thank you for your love, your kindness, and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Unfortunately, yeah, the new King James Version doesn't work in this chat, but they ain't fixed that yet. But y'all seen the robot, you know, putting the title of this message, and that's why I titled this message. And I was thinking, why do Christians suffer? Why do we suffer, folks? I ain't talking about non-believers. I'm talking about us as believers. We would think the moment we came to Jesus Christ, the moment we said yes, all my problems is going to be over with because I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm going to be hugging in His arms, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. I wish it was so. I wish it was so. I really do. And, you know, even though we asked the why question, I think we shouldn't because, again, all my hope is in Jesus. But I want you to know, my friends, even though we suffer and we suffer many things, and sometimes we suffer and you will find out other reasons why we suffer. But I want you to know, just because we have accepted Jesus Christ, you think that we was not going to do nothing wrong again? Some Christians out there love to preach that. They think Jesus is sufficient. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus is sufficient. Jesus should be all. Jesus should take care of everything, and that's correct. All our strength lies in Christ. But we're still going to do wrong. We're still going to suffer. Things will happen. I wish they would not. I wish God, you know, would be like some of these Marvel comics and boom, just change the reality and time and make everything like it was at the beginning in the garden. And it will be one day, but not today. So this title, my friend, says it all. Why do Christians suffer? And I was sitting here, you know, when I'm typing this on my little Microsoft Word, I type it on my computer. I got a lot of scribble scratch writings and, you know, and I use little tablets like these. And, you know, I write stuff down, whatever. I'm sitting in the living room on the porch, or if I'm riding on a lawnmower and I got something, you know, I pull it out and I write it down. So, you know, that's why these pieces of the puzzles come together. And I was thinking, why do Christians suffer? Why? I would love to know. Wouldn't we all? I'm sure that you can agree with me. Would you love to know why we would suffer? You think we shouldn't? But the only thing that I can think of is this. We who have been called to this great purpose of conformity to the image of Christ will for that reason also be called to suffer. So if you're going to be called to the conformity of Jesus Christ, you are going to be called to suffer. Now some folks said, whoa, brother, hold on a minute. I'm not too keen on what you're trying to say. That you're trying to tell me if I accept Jesus Christ that I am going to have to accept that I'm going to suffer? Yes. We're no different. We're not exempt. I wish we were, but we're not. And if we want to know Him, if you want to know Him in the power of his resurrection, then we need to also share in his sufferings. How so? Look what Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says. And this is the ESV version. Philippians 3:10 says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may, and look at this, very, very important, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. You want a little bit more? Look what Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and follow heirs with Christ, provided, here we go, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also glorified with him. We're going to share in his sufferings. We're going to share in his glorification. We're going to have to do both. And what we learn from these passages, my friends, is that our death is in any way is redemptive. Only Christ's death can save. Only Jesus' death can save us. But yet, if anyone is in Christ, then that person has glory and hardship in store for them. Let me repeat this. This is what I'm learning in this process. If anyone is in Christ, then that person has glory and hardship in store for them. Both. And when given this some thoughts of answers to share to you, all I can think of is that the central reason for Christians suffering is fellowship with Christ. The central reason of suffering, Christian suffering, is fellowship with Christ. And we should not be surprised at the trials that come our way, but be glad that they mean that we are communion with Christ's sufferings. We're equal heirs. We share in his glories. We share in his sufferings. It can even be said that we fill up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. We fill up what's lacking in Christ's afflictions. Why I say this? Take a look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Look what it says. Now, I rejoice. And I love this. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church. We're the church. Not the building. We're the church. And yet so often we are caught off guard by our sufferings. We are sometimes. Hey, if you honestly admit, I get caught off guard. Look what we've been going through lately. And as though that we are to be exempt. I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. You know, my wife loves you very much, Lord. Why is she suffering? I'm pouring out my heart to you, surrender to you, want to do your ministry, trying to teach and preach. Shouldn't I be exempt too? No. See, because what's going on here in this mold, see, what we do, us humans, we reason that since we are not condemned anymore, and that's what we think, like, hey, I'm not condemned. I'm in Christ Jesus. Okay, so why should you and I continue to pay the price? Hey, if I'm in Jesus Christ, if I am in Christ, if I'm sharing with Him, then why do I continue to share and pay the price? Why? You think that should end? But see, friends, we hardly have all the answers for the mysteries of suffering, especially the suffering of Christians. We don't have the answers. None of us. That's why, as a pastor, I can't give you the answer. That's why you, as a Christian, can't give hardly no one else the answer. None of us knows. Ultimately, only God has the reasons for the evil in this world and the pain inflicted on its inhabitants. Only God knows the reason why evil is inflicting pain upon us. And we do know immediate responsibility for evils, and I'm going to make some people uncomfortable when saying this, when they hear this, but the ultimate responsibility for evil is ours, not God. We are the one who commits the sinful acts. We are the one who willingly commits sin. We know we shouldn't sin. We know we shouldn't watch those things. We know we shouldn't listen to those things. We know we shouldn't devil with those things. We know we shouldn't sin, period. We know that, hey, I am following Jesus Christ, so I should not look at those filthy things on the internet. I should not be in these filthy rooms. I should not hang around. I should not sin. We know all this, and yet we do it. Because, see, we are sharing the responsibility for the evil because we commit those acts. And we should know better. Because what we're not willing to do, we're not willing to die to ourselves, okay, I got alcohol addiction. I want to drink. There's a liquor store right there on that corner. One drink is not going to hurt. Yes, it will. If you got an addiction, you're cruising on the internet. And I'm speaking for myself long ago. I had porn addiction. Man, I was hardcore porn. See this flashy little girl comes up. Ooh. And you start moving that mouse over. And I hear the Holy Spirit telling me, no, no, no. Click. Yeah. Pills, anger, hate. You see why I'm saying the ultimate responsibility for evil is all? Because we're choosing to do those actions instead of trusting in God and saying, God, okay, I'm not going to look at this today. I'm not going to do that today. I'm not going to say these things today. I'm not going to get mad today. I need your help. Yeah, and you need His help. You need the Holy Spirit. And you should surrender to the Spirit. But whenever you feel those temptations come at you, you should know that God gives us a way out. So when we do those things, guess what? We suffer for those things. And then we wonder, why do we suffer? Why do we have so much torments? Why do we catch so much heck? Well, the ultimate responsibility is yours. There are consequences to your actions. Wait a minute, Jim, you're supposed to be a preacher and uplift me, man, not convict me. If you are being convicted, it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit, because He does the same to me. I failed last night. I'm flipping through Prime, Amazon Prime, you know, looking for a movie to watch. The movie didn't say nothing about being rated R. Started watching, started off pretty good. Hey, it looked like a pretty good movie. Then the guy started dropping those F-bombs. Whoa. Man, I need to turn this thing off. And did I turn it off? No. After the movie's over, I'm like, oh. So I was suffering in the spirit. Had a restless night. Why did I continue to watch that movie? And I got to stand before these people today and preach to them? I was looking for a piece of wood. I need to remove that 4x4 on my eye first. But I suffered last night because of that. You see, but we wonder why believers who are acquitted from the responsibility still must receive the consequences deserved by sinners. The Bible explains that our suffering has a number of purposes connected with sanctification. And one of them is purification of our faith. And here's what Peter tells us about this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, this is what he explains to us. He is talking about our purification, friends, and look what he says. So that testing genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what Peter is telling us, as gold is refined by fire, and I don't know if you ever watch any documentaries, but I watch how gold is processed when it's melted. And what happens when they melt that gold down, the top layer is all crusted in black. All the impurities in that gold floats up. So those people start scraping those impurities out. Then what you see is the brightest and shiniest and prettiest gold that you have ever seen. Wow, it's beautiful. But see, this is what God is doing with us in our sufferings. He has to scrape those impurities out. And we start to learn through many of our sufferings. You know what? I went through that once already when I did this, when I said this, acted on this. I don't want to deal with that again. Because that tore me up. That caused me to mentally suffer. That gave me agony. That gave me stress. No, thank you. Move on. And yet sometimes, though, we still slip and we still do it. But yet, don't count it strange when you suffer for that. And see, and as that gold is refined by fire, our faith is perfected. Please listen. Your faith is perfected by hardships and trials so that it will result in the praise and glory and honor on the very last day. And as Christians, we love the thought of sharing in Christ's glory. Oh, we love that thought. Oh, yes, I love it. All of us do, I guarantee. If you're honest with yourself, you don't even have to type it. You can just say it to yourself where you're sitting there. Yeah, you love the thought of sharing in Christ's glory. I do. But what about sharing in his sufferings? Do we love the thought of that? I sure don't. But we do. Jesus took care of the death penalty once and for all, so we don't ever have to worry about that again. We don't have to worry about death. And again, the Bible does teach us that we must suffer times of trials if we are to share in his glory. So the hard questions you need to ask, the hard question you need to ask, my friends, and all the suffering that you have to endure in your life till you breathe your last. And I love this because I had to ask myself the same question. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? I answer yes. Yes. It's worth it to suffer. Y'all remember those apostles? Man, they were bragging and counting on, and they were joyous and happy. Hey, we sharing in the sufferings of Jesus Christ when they got whipped and thrown in prison and beaten and threatened to be killed. What Jesus did for me on the cross and all my sufferings and hardships in my life so far, I'm 60 years old and I've been through a lot, and many of you have also. Is it worth it? Yes. Why? I'm going to reaffirm this. Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. He puts it out there as plain as day. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth, or not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Now, many of us think, hey, we suffer because of our circumstances, and sometimes that is true. We believe that if our circumstances were somehow to change, if I could change my circumstances, then I won't suffer. We'll be able to act right. But God wants us to become so mature and stable that we act right even when none of our circumstances are good. So when you are mature and stable, and even though you have been, I got many knots on my heads and everything else, so whatever, but all those trials, sufferings, hardships, and pains that I have gone through, I reflect on that, and I act right on that, because I know our circumstances of those things become good. Again, as my wife is suffering, that's a lesson she's going to learn. That's a lesson I'm learning. You know what I've been learning a little bit in all this process with her? Just recently in the last 2 years, and my dear friend Lisa, she can brag on me. I don't like being bragged on. I don't like being put on that pedestal. But, unfortunately, I do agree with some things many of you do say that knows me. In the last 2 years, I have changed because I learned humility. I learned how to be humble. But now what I'm learning and all the suffering? Compassion and patience. Compassion and patience. So what all this boils down to, my friends, is understand that God has a plan. You should write that down. I got that written down and I need to hang it on the wall. God has a plan in this. And in this plan, there will be times we suffer. Yes. In his plan and in these times, we will suffer. And this is when it comes down to having faith and trusting in that faith. God has this covered. That's right, God. I'm going to trust you that you got this covered. I'm going to take rest in you. I'm going to take rest in you. You got this covered. I don't understand it. I'm having a hard time with it. But you got it covered. You got it covered. And we need to understand, you and I, that God's plan for us is to exercise a higher level of faith. We need to exercise a higher level of faith that will carry us through life's challenges. And this requires even greater faith than being delivered from a situation. Sure, it's not easy at these times, folks. It's not easy. Nevertheless, we need to have the faith in him to draw closer to him during these hard times. We need to have that faith to draw closer to him. And yes, this is hard for us at times when these things happen to us. It's hard for us. It really is. I will admit to you, it's hard for me sometimes when I have to suffer pain. Suffering is an expected part of a Christian's life. Get over it. Like my wife says, build a bridge and get over it. Suffering in our life of walking with Jesus Christ is going to be a normal part of life. Why do I say this? Because Jesus told us that was going to happen. Look what he's saying in John chapter 16, verse 33. Plain as day, Christ spoke this. And here we go. He said, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace, and we do. In the world, you would have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The truth about overcome sustains Christians when suffering threatens to overwhelm us. The truth about overcoming sustains us Christians when suffering threatens to overwhelm us. Like when we get to the point, I can't take this no more. And yes, Christians suffer for a variety of reasons, including many of the same reasons that non-Christians suffer. Hello? Life on this broken planet can be difficult for all of us. Christians may also suffer for some of the same reasons Jesus did in accordance to the Bible. Believers represent an uncompromising truth that the world doesn't want to hear, that Jesus is the only path to God. We also need to understand suffering of any kind was not really part of God's original plan. Do you get that? Suffering for us was not really part of God's original plan. Man messed that up. Man caused the problems. Man caused us to fall because we gave in to the temptation of evil. Therefore, we are sharing the responsibility of it. All of us. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. So we will suffer. You see, everything he created was very good. But sin corrupted the world at Adam's disobedience. And sin continues to corrupt the world as we add to our own poor decisions. We add to the sin, folks, whenever we make poor decisions. You and I, we are all guilty. We're all in rebellion. And many of us are selfish. That's right. You may not like to hear that word, but we're selfish. So we're adding on to all this. Sin has ripple effects throughout time. Or sin harms others. And their sins harm us, even when we've done nothing wrong. That's right, their sin harms us, even when we've done nothing wrong. Because again, we are part of this world. We're going to have to suffer. You see, Flo, I want you to understand something very important, please. Becoming a Christian does not insulate us from the ugliness of the world, nor does it protect us from the natural, temporal consequences of sin. It does not protect us from that. Peter encourages us. He encourages us in our times of trials and reminding us that the suffering has a purpose. That's why I played that song. So Peter's reminding us that the suffering has a purpose, just as we read not too long ago in 1 Peter 1:7. Again, let's look at it again. And this is what he said. So that the testing genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor as a revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, in a nutshell, God uses temporary suffering to refine the character of His own children. God uses the suffering to refine us in the character of His own children and to His image. I don't know how many of you used to play with it, but my sisters used to have, I forgot the name of it, the Easy Bake Oven, I think, what it was. It might be something different, but man, I remember the first time they popped that thing open, I ate up all the dough. Boy, that's some good stuff. But it had all these little figurines, you know. You could make little stars, gingerbread men, you know. So you had to put it in the dough, and you had to put it in a little oven and bake it. But see, that's what God does with us. We're a big lump of mess. But He's going to mold us and shape us. And while in that process to be that little gingerbread man, He's got to start peeling off those outer edges. Ow! 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 And then sometimes that when we suffer during things that happens in our life, it refines us into His image. That's what suffering does. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. So far, so good, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how this message is going. I'm not here to try to brag. Maybe, oh yeah, I'm going to preach a good message to them tonight. I don't know. But I thought and I thought and I thought, you know, I was thinking, okay, all the suffering talk sounds like a bummer. But I'm trying to help you understand. Suffering is good. Whoa! Hold on, brother. I got a bone pick with you. How you can tell me my pain brings good? How can you tell me my suffering brings good? How dare you? And you have that right. I should have wrote this down, but Romans 8:28 says, for the good, I can't remember, but I know it says, like, you know, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Let's see what it says. And all we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good for those who are called according to His purpose. So again, suffering helps us grow. And I was thinking, okay, what could be possible reasons of suffering? What could be possible reasons for Christians to suffer? That there are distinct from the reasons for the general suffering experienced by everyone in the world. So here again, I'm thinking, okay, what could be the possible reasons for Christians of suffering that are distinct from those who are in the world? Several things. The first one could be this. Suffering may be a form of discipline. Now, I'm not here to rat my wife out. But I did tell her the other day, what you're dealing with may be a form of discipline because of your disobedience. Boy, she got fired up at me. Now, I know that was probably bad timing. But when I found out some things were quite not right, she didn't like to hear that truth. I spoke on that last night, why the world hates us Christians. Because Jesus spoke truth. But I was speaking the truth too because I'm trying to analyze where could all this be manifesting from? And sometimes God does use suffering as a form of discipline. Now, God is a good father. He is. And when one of His children strays, He may use suffering to bring him or her back. The second thing suffering does, that suffering enables Christians to identify with and encourage. You ready for this? Suffering enables Christians to identify with and encourage one another who suffers. We lift each other up. Some things that I went through, you may just be starting, and I know what it feels like. Some things you may be going through that I may be starting, you know what it feels like, so you can help. But in this process, look what 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says. And read that very carefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. And here's what Paul is saying. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Those who have experienced the grace of God in their trouble are better equipped to help others find the same grace in their troubles. Wow. Mark this, write this down, please. Of anything in this message, I hope some of you are note takers. Write this passage down and read it carefully and burn it into your heart. Because again, it's telling us those who have suffered are better equipped to help others find grace in their suffering. Somehow or another, I missed this. All the times I have read the Bible since 2004 till now, somehow or another, I missed that. Amen. The third thing that suffering does, that suffering helps us draw closer to the Lord. You see, a lot of times, as I just said earlier, if we're disobedient, or if we're doing something wrong, or we're doing things that we know we should not be doing, you see what's going on? You start getting distance from God. So when you start to suffer, what this does, Father, I need you in all this. You are the ones that's drifting away. So whenever we suffer, this is what helps us. This is why we start meditating. This is why we start praying. This is why we start reading the Word. This is why we go to fellowship. This is why we must decide, you know what? I am going to surrender to you everything, and I'm going to stop all this junk that's ensnaring me, that's causing me to sin. And if I got to suffer, and separate myself, lose friends, and do whatever it takes to stay away from that sin that's causing me to stumble, then so be it, I will suffer for it. Because see, too often, we seem to grow most, and this is from my experience, and I think you can relate to this, so often that we grow the most whenever we are going through difficult times. That's when we learn. Things could be hunky-dory, smooth sailing. You're learning nothing. We learn those things in the times of those trials, pains, hurts, and suffering. That's how we learn. Because what suffering does, what it does to me, and this is what I'm speaking just on my personal experience to relate to you, suffering strips us of artificial and temporal securities and forces us to dig more deeply into the Word to find peace and purpose. Oh, God, I need you. I need you. Help me see what I'm doing wrong. I'm suffering. I don't know why. Could it be I'm doing something wrong? I don't know. But it causes you to dig deeply into the Word. That's what it's doing. And if you're not hungering for the Word, if you're not really running to Him, if you're not saying, you know what, God, I'm having problems with this particular sin and it's getting a hold to me. Well, you know what? The problem is you're not turning that sin over to Christ because you love it. That's right. I tell drug addiction people this all the time, or alcohol addiction. Whatever. You know, the reason why you're having problems is because, see, you don't want to give it up. Internet pornography, you don't want to give it up. Don't sit here and boo to him, Jim, I've been doing this. And sometimes I talk to people who have been doing it 50 times and they're still doing it. Well, you, my friends, the problem is that's why you're suffering, because you're refusing to give it up. Many other things, folks. We suffer because we refuse to give it up. We love it. But we must suffer to strip ourselves. Let it strip us of that ugliness. Dig deeper into the Word. Every time I was hit with temptation when I first came to Christ, look, I'm not proud of my past. One time I was a cocaine dealer. Man, I was blowing $1,000 a week or more. Smoked almost 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Drank like there was no tomorrow. Pornography, you name it, I've done it. But I realized I was suffering. I realized the only person who can clear me of these all addictions and all this sin was Christ. But every time I was tempted, every time that temptation came, I ran to the Word and studied and studied. And study. And before you know it, those temptations went away. And before you know it, over time, they disappeared. Suffering draws you closer to the Lord. It has been said, and I said this earlier in this part of the sermon, it has been said that when Christ is all you have, Christ is all you need. See, when Christ is all that you have, Christ is all that you need. All other things, useless. The fourth thing, or the fourth item that suffering does, suffering reminds us. Suffering reminds us. You ready for this? Suffering reminds us that this world is not our home. I don't know if you ever thought about that. Suffering reminds you and I, this world is not our home. Christians who live in more affluent parts of the world may find it harder to long for heaven than their impoverished brothers and sisters. Other people in the world, folks, they do find it harder to long for heaven than those who are lacking. And sadly, many evangelical Christians today in the United States are slacking. They're not like other people in the world. You see, when our life is comfortable, when we kind of got that broom straw mentality, eternity is only a glimmer in the far future. But when Christians suffer or deal with persecution or poverty or trials or tribulations or pains, let me tell you something. Eternity starts to become the brightest light in their lives. Often, Christians who suffer have an advantage in keeping their priorities straight. That's right. Often when we suffer, we have an advantage of keeping our priorities straight. Because we focus on the one, regardless of the outcome. And our ultimate hope, your ultimate hope, is not in this world or gaining earthly comfort. Our hope is in God and in His greater plan. It requires faith to please God, as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says. Pay attention to that passage, because again, it's very important, because it says so very clearly, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. I know this is an overtime message, but I'm sorry. And faithful followers of Jesus Christ know that a lack of suffering, here we go. Faithful followers of Jesus Christ knows that a lack of suffering is not a reliable indication of His pleasure. Neither is the experience of suffering proof of His displeasure. The same hope amplified by the people mentioned in the whole chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11. When you get time, read that. They call that the faith chapter. All of chapter 11 is called the faith chapter. And when the same hope is amplified by those people mentioned in that chapter, even when we suffer as a direct result of our own poor choices, let me tell you something. Your suffering, my suffering, is never wasted. Never is. God promised to use even our most heartbreaking pain. Oh, yes, friends. God promises us to use even our most heartbreaking pain for good if we will trust Him, as He mentions to us, even in Romans 8:28. We read that earlier, but Lisa posted again. Because God is saying in Romans 8:28, He said, "And we know that for those who love God and all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." And pay attention to this. Even Paul himself, who suffered more than the worst, more than others. Look what he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 through 18. This is what he wrote. And I love my man Paul. You know what? Paul has a good outlook on life, doesn't he? Look what he said. He says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond comparison. And as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Wow! So last but not least, all of us need to understand God's chief purpose in our lives is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And yes, He has determined in His plan to use suffering for our spiritual development. He's using suffering for our spiritual development. That helps us grow. So if we're going to endure suffering and the trials of life, we need to understand and we need to believe in the other purpose and reasons for suffering, as they are related to the chief purpose He has for us in our lives. And that is, most important of all things, that is that knowledge alone strengthens Christians as they are called to suffer. That strengthens us as we are called to suffer. Amen. Let's pray.